Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This morning we talked about believing in Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The Bible tells us that we can, and we can become sons of God, and we are children of God. And how blessed it is, John wrote, what a privilege it is to be called the sons of God. But how do we know that Jesus is the Christ? We've heard about Jesus, we've read about Jesus, but how do we know that Jesus is the Christ? So tonight I want us to think about believing the witness of God. That's what we must do. We must believe the witness of God. There are three ways that we know that Jesus is the Christ: the testimony of God's word, the works that Jesus did, and the testimony of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God marked the way that Jesus would come. This is he, now he's talking about Jesus Christ, believing on Jesus as the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Bible tells us that this is the Jesus that came by water. Now, the only way that I can interpret that verse of Scripture, along with all the other scriptures that I know concerning the life of Jesus, is that Jesus came by water, in that he received the baptism of John. And God had told John, when you baptize the Messiah, this is John 1:18-34, when you baptize the Messiah, there will be a manifestation. There will be a voice, and there will be a descent of the Holy Spirit upon him. And by that sign, that person that you baptize, you'll know that he is my son. So Jesus came by water, in the sense that his water baptism identified him as the Son of God, because Jesus spoke from heaven and said, "Behold, my son, or in whom I am well pleased." Then the Bible tells us that Jesus didn't come by water only. There was something else that identified him as the Son of God, and the fact that we ought to believe on him, and that is blood. And when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, then that was the fulfillment of all the promises that had been made since the first humans were on earth, that a Messiah would come, a Savior would come, and that his blood being shed would make an atonement for our sins and our wickedness. And that's the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. So John said, you'll know him because he'll come by water, not by water only, but also by water and by blood. Then you'll notice that it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So there was a bearing, or a testifying, by the Spirit of God that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And the fact that his institution, the church, was of his choosing and his blessing, was made manifest on the day of Pentecost. Now, this Spirit, the Bible tells us, is God's witness as well as being God. Verses 7 and 8, notice, "For there are three that bear record in heaven," all right? There are three that bear record in heaven. Notice the location. A Trinity, three, bears record in heaven. And the word record literally means to speak a testimony or to give a witness. So there are three in heaven that confirm and approve and identify and testify. They are the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. You'll notice here that the Word is capitalized, which literally means it has reference to Jesus Christ as being the Word. This was the ancient Greek way of identifying the first force, or the mover, the unseen mover of all things. And in John 1:1, it states, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." So there are three that bear witness and testimony that Jesus is the Christ in heaven. They are God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said, "Let in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established." And he was talking about testifying himself that he was the Son of God. It's perfectly legitimate for you to testify that you are who you say you are. So the testimony in heaven is this: Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, they testify. Now you'll notice that these three are one. That is, they are one in every sense of the word. Now, if your mind can't comprehend that, don't worry about it. God doesn't ask us to understand it. God asks us to accept it. So I'm not asking you to understand it. I'm not asking you to be able to explain it. I'm asking you to accept the fact that these three are one. Now, that's in heaven. But the Bible tells us that there is a Trinity that bears witness on the earth. Notice. "And there are three that bear witness in earth." That is, here and now, there are three that bear witness. What are they? They are the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And you'll notice that he states these three agree in one. He doesn't say these three are one like he did of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He says these three agree in one. Now here's what I believe that John is talking about. There are three that bear witness. Now the word witness here, that's translated witness, is different than the word that's in verse 7. It talks about bearing record. That word bear record does mean testimony or witness. But here, this word that's translated witness really means one who remembers well and is able to restate it. So we'd think of a person who sees an accident and they remember the details of the accident, and therefore they can restate it so that it can be tried in courts and the courts can make an accurate decision. That person then is called a witness. And that's the word that's used here. There are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Now, what is the Spirit? Well, it's the Holy Spirit that Jesus left when he went away. And he's promised, and when he, the Spirit, is come, when he talked to the Comforter, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and in judgment. And that work of the Holy Spirit is today being accomplished. So in the earth, there is the witness of the Spirit. And then he mentions water. And I believe that this on-earth witness that is referred to here as water is water baptism, or baptism in water. Just as the testimony of God at the baptism of Jesus identified him as the Son of God, the Bible teaches us by the act of immersion, we are testifying and witnessing to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. So, when we speak of the witnesses in earth, they are the convicting and convincing power of the Spirit of God, the witnessing power of water baptism, immersion, that testifies to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God, and then you'll notice blood. And blood. So there is today a witness on earth concerning the blood and the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That too is performed by a New Testament church when that church observes the Lord's Supper. That is a witness to the death, the shedding of the blood, the broken body of the Son of God. So today there is the witness in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is the witness on earth that Jesus is or was the Son of God, and that is the convicting power of the Spirit, the ordinance of scriptural baptism in the New Testament church, and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper in the New Testament church. These are witnesses, and you'll notice that John said these three agree. He didn't say they are one, but he said they agree. And what does the Spirit testify? The Spirit testifies that Jesus is the Christ. What does baptism do? It testifies that Jesus is the Christ. That's the substance of it. What does the Lord's Supper do? It testifies that Jesus is the Christ. That's the substance of it. So these three really do agree in one. In verse 9, John writes of how powerful a witness is. If we receive the witness of men, and actually the idea is not if, but we do receive the witness of men. Every system of justice on the earth from time immemorial has accepted the concept of the witness. The most primitive societies accept in their law enforcement the principle of a witness. The most sophisticated law system in all the world, which is probably our system, also puts great power and credence in the testimony of a witness. Law enforcement officers tell me that if they've got one good, solid witness who saw things from the beginning to the end, that that's almost a sure conviction. But if you had two men who weren't together but saw something and saw every detail of it and then appeared in court, Spurgeon, you'd say, wrap it up. We got this one made. We got two solid witnesses. Now, there's power because in this testimony or in this witness, people can be put to death. You know, the idea, oh, just two or three people said that. Well, that's all that's necessary to put somebody to death. Do you realize that? Two or three people to testify under oath that we saw a certain thing happen, and if they agree and they convince the jury or the judge, people can die. In fact, in the Old Testament economy, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a person was stoned to death. Literally stoned to death. That's the power of a human witness. Jesus said that this power of the witness was actually carried over into the New Testament church. He's been talking of problems and talking about offenses among members. He said if it wouldn't hear you individually, then in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And that simply means if a person can take two other people and corroborate his statements about another person, the church will act upon those statements, and the statements are so powerful as a witness that a person can be excluded from the power and fellowship of a New Testament church just by the power of a witness, a human witness. And now here's John's idea. If we put so much credence, so much power, and there's so much importance attached to human witness. Notice, the witness of God is greater. That simply means that if I tell you something and you don't believe it, and I can produce two more people and they tell you the same thing, you got to believe it. And if that's powerful, just think how powerful it is when God produces. Not only he states something, but then God produces two more witnesses to corroborate what he said. In other words, when God said, and then the Word said, and the blood said, and when God said, and the Spirit said, and the baptism says, and the Lord's Supper says, then these are witnesses that force us to believe the witness, our testimony of Almighty God. Now, God has testified. That's the whole idea. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Latter part of verse 9. This is the witness of God. He has testified of his Son. Now the believer has accepted God's witness. Notice, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Now notice, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That is the testimony of God inside of him. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verses 14 and 17, Paul wrote of this inner witness. Now, why would John say that someone who doesn't believe that Jesus is the Christ hath made God a liar? Because not only has God said it, but God had the witnesses to prove it, and they also testified, the Spirit testified, and the Holy Spirit testified that Jesus is the Christ. And it's being done today on earth by the fact that the Spirit of God convicts, and the Church of the Living God witnesses by the ordinances that it performs to the saving grace and to the personage of Jesus as being the Son of Almighty God. So when a person will not believe, they literally make God a liar. They accuse God of lying. When you watch the ordinance of baptism, you watch Sister Triplett baptized. When she came up out of the water, that testified that Jesus arose from the grave. If you say, look, I don't believe Jesus rose from the grave, then you call that testimony that God honors, you're saying that lied. But it didn't lie. Because Jesus came up out of the grave, and everyone who has faith in him will also be raised to walk in newness of life, and him will God raise up at the last day. These are powerful witnesses. The Lord's Supper is not just something that takes a little extra time some Sunday morning or some Sunday night. Baptism is not just a trifling matter that really doesn't have any importance. It is a witness to the world that God has told the truth about Jesus Christ. Now, the testimony of God. What is the testimony of God? What does God say? What is this record? It's this. He that hath the Son, or in verse 11, and this is the record. Now, in other words, this is the testimony. These are the facts. This is the record. That God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. I think what he's really saying, okay, you want to know this all boiled down in a nutshell? God gives eternal life. He has offered eternal life. He's given eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has given to me and you an opportunity to live forever. To live forever, to possess never-ending life in his presence and on this earth forevermore when Jesus comes back and God makes a new heaven and a new earth and moves the redeemed and born again people on it. We'll live forever with God. That's eternal life. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life. But where is that life? How is it found? Here's the second fact. And this life is in his Son. You notice, didn't call him Jesus, didn't call him Christ. Said it's his Son. Now, simple statements. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Since God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. It's that simple. It's powerful, but it's that simple. Have you believed the witness of God? Have you believed the witness of God? Whenever Jesus spoke of persons who had rejected Jesus, he said, let them hear what the Bible says. That is, they have Moses and the prophets, which literally means they have access to the Word of God. And you know, that's a witness. God's people are a witness. Churches are a witness. I think even the existence of a house of God is a witness. Have you believed the witness of your neighbors and your friends that Jesus is the Christ? Have you believed the witness particularly of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Have you believed the witness of blood and water and spirit? It's here, witnessing. Will you stand with me as our musicians come and we sing hymn of invitation? And this invitation simply says, if you're here and without Jesus Christ and you'd like to be saved tonight or make a public profession of faith, that you can do that here tonight by coming and saying, I make my profession, I state my faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here, you want to come and move your letter, come for baptism, you do that as we sing.